Hello, good morning. Another Beltwide, another demand side presentation and a production conference. So I appreciate you guys for not having me booted out of the session yet, even though I stubbornly refuse to talk about things related to production. What I'm going to be sharing with you today are some new things. We have a little bit of expansion in terms of our analysis. The past 2 years that I've been here talking about apparel imports, we've been focused primarily on the U.S. market. Now we're going to take things a little bit more international. What I'm going to be discussing today is sort of an offshoot of a project that we've been working on with the ICAC. The ICAC is spearheading a project taking a closer look at polyester, and in particular what China has been doing related to polyester. So a big proportion of that project has been related to data gathering. So we've been taking a look at what's been going on in global fiber markets, global yarn markets, and also global apparel markets. So I've been helping pull some of the apparel numbers, and that's what I'm going to be discussing with you guys today. Of course, this feeds into the larger discussion of the cotton market because we do have something of a demand problem. I think a lot of you are very familiar with this chart. This is a chart of global mill use over the past decade and some change. You take a look at what's been happening. We have had several years of growth, but that growth has been very weak. And even though we've had 4 or 5 years of growth, we're still down about 10% relative to where we were back in 2007, 2008. So we do have some demand-related challenges out there to address. While this is something that really stands out, you take a look at mill use numbers, something that I think we need to keep in mind as well is that when we take a look at these mill use data, that yarn that's produced when we're spinning that fiber into yarn goes somewhere. So it's not just a problem in terms of mills aren't spinning enough cotton. The problem is that consumers either aren't having the opportunity to buy more cotton or they're just not buying more cotton. So take a closer look at what's going on at a consumer level. May have a better understanding regarding some of the factors affecting demand. So just some real brief context in terms of some of the data we'll be looking at. For those of you who aren't so familiar with how apparel trade is classified, there is a harmonized system that exists. This is for trade of all products around the world, where you're taking a look at, industrial applications, autos. They're classified according to the harmonized system, as is apparel and textiles. So essentially, most of the countries that do participate in trade do trade by this harmonized system, which allows for better understanding of what tariffs are, whether you're going to be shipping or importing. Relative to the apparel database, codes are common up to the HS6 level. When you take a look at the harmonized system, which is the HS abbreviation there, you get more specificity with additional digits in that code. So least specific would be 2. They call that a chapter level. And you add increasingly more specific as you get further down the line. So we've got HS6 codes. There's about 150 to 200 of those that we're able to look at for the apparel market. We did that for several major countries. We have data for weight of apparel imports, the count of apparel products being imported for each of these categories, and then also the value. The countries that we focused on were the U.S., the EU, and Japan. The ICAC estimates that about 50% of global end-use demand results from developed markets, and the vast majority of developed markets would be U.S., EU, and Japan. We also have good confidence in terms of these numbers as being developed countries that their statistics are probably pretty reliable as well. In addition to having this product category data for these three different countries that are importing, we also have information regarding the country of origin or where they're getting that apparel from, as well as the product category. So we'll be walking you through some of those data. So once again, the purpose of this project in general was to help feed into that ICAC effort, but I think we're getting some additional mileage out of it. For example, CCI sometimes has some interest in, what's going on in terms of cotton consumption in different countries, where opportunities are for them maybe to get a bigger wedge in terms of shipping more U.S. cotton to those markets. So we get a better idea for that by simply taking a look at distribution of where imports are coming from. We'll start by doing that here in the U.S. This is data in terms of million tons of cotton-dominant imports. This is the weight of apparel imports that are at least 50% cotton-containing. So you take a look at this number, you can compare it to some of the more sophisticated numbers that Les puts out. It's a little bit lower. The reason for that is that these numbers aren't weights-adjusted. So the USDA numbers, they compensate for some of the loss in fiber that occurs when you're spinning or making fabric or making garments. We're not able to do that here, so that's why it's a little bit lower than some of Les's numbers. But this is where we are in terms of 2015 for cotton dyed apparel imports. Take a look at that number, which is down about 20% relative to the peak where we were back in 2007. So here we're highlighting some of the issues we've got, once again, on demand side at the consumer level just in the U.S. But we want to take a look at what's going on in different markets. So we talked about the ICAC project. We want to take a look at what's going on with polyester, particularly what China's doing with polyester. How has that been affecting the apparel market? In the U.S., we can't really say it's been too negative, because if you take a look at the cotton-dominant imports from China over that eight-year period, we're actually slightly higher than where we were back in 2007. So we can't really blame China, at least for the U.S., for having a big impact with what they've been doing in the polyester market in terms of U.S. apparel imports. Take a look at Bangladesh. We've also seen some growth. We've seen U.S. cotton-dominant imports from Bangladesh up about 30%, so some pretty healthy growth from there as well. Then Vietnam, of course, Vietnam has had very strong growth in textile industries of all sorts over the past several years, and they've been shipping more than 50% more cotton-dominant apparel to the U.S. over the past year than they were 8 years ago. If we start taking a look at these numbers, yeah, we got some happy results here at the top of the chart, but that world number is minus 20%, so things start getting a little bit more sad as we move a little further down these rows. Mexico, we got some big losses in terms of the amount of cotton we're importing from them. Pakistan, we're down a little bit. India, down a little bit. Indonesia, down a little bit. Turkey, down a little bit. Rest of the world, this is essentially Western Hemisphere sourcing. This would be a lot of our Central American countries. We're down in a pretty big way. So we do have some growth in terms of our major shippers shipping a little bit more cotton, but we have a declining tide, and we're seeing a lot of that declining in the tide resulting from declines, particularly from our Western Hemisphere countries. So why is this taking place, or why do I think we have had a bigger decline from our Latin American countries? I think some of it has to do with our tariff rates. If you take a look at tariff rates, they are assigned differentially in the U.S. according to fiber content. So if you're importing a cotton-dominant apparel item, you may be spending 10% less on duty than you would for a man-made item. So for example, if you're going to pay full duty rate importing a knit shirt from China, you'll be paying duties of about 32%. If it's man-made dominant, that duty rate would be down around 20% if it's cotton dominant. So for that reason, there's a bigger advantage if you're shipping from China to bring in cotton as opposed to man-made. But if you take a look at our Western Hemisphere countries, which would be our rest of the world here, they're free trade areas, so that advantage that cotton has or enjoys from a tariff standpoint does not exist for Western Hemisphere. And this all traces back to mill use once again. So you take a look at USDA numbers. Last month, they had a reduction in U.S. mill use. A lot of the U.S. spinning industry is built around the fact that they can ship that yarn to the Western Hemisphere where it comes back in terms of apparel. But if the Western Hemisphere is shipping us more man-made items and less cotton items, it means that U.S. cotton consumption potentially could be affected, and I think that is what's going on here. So a lot of explanation from a chart that's a table that's already relatively busy. Here I'm going to make it even more busy for you. Sorry, got a lot of data to throw at you, trying to do it as piecewise as I can. But here we're taking a look at changes in total fiber volumes. This is not just cotton dominant. This is also man-made dominant and anything else dominant. Take a look at the change in the weight volume that we had 2015 relative to 2007. We're also negative. The reason for that is that garments have gotten lighter. So Barry talked about that yesterday. We've had garments in the U.S. get about 15% lighter. Even though economic growth has been slow, it has been positive. We have seen units go up. The thing is those units don't weigh as much as it did in the past. That's true for cotton as well as for man-made, and that's why that overall number is down. Something else just to highlight here, take a look at the percentage change numbers for cotton dominant relative to our all-fiber content. You can see we have had bigger growth on the all-fiber content relative to cotton for essentially all of them, with notable exception being for Bangladesh here. Bangladesh is doing pretty good in terms of maintaining cotton dominant share. You want to take a look at the cotton dominant share figures directly. You can do that here. You see, we have had significant losses, down about 13% in terms of cotton dominant share overall. Bangladesh holding up pretty well, losses everywhere, but the most important loss is here in this rest of the world bucket, which is primarily Latin America. So something I didn't mention earlier, some of the reasons why I chose these countries, simply we know these are major textile countries. We use this same set when we pulled these data for all the markets we're looking at. So we did that for the U.S. We also did the same thing for the EU. So you take a look at these, what's going on in the EU, rest of the world numbers have changed a little bit. That's not so much Western Hemisphere, that's mostly going to be Southeast Asia in their case. If you take a look at what's going on in terms of EU imports, cotton dominant volumes down about 10% compared to where they were about 8 years ago. They had a big decrease in cotton dominant shipments coming from China. So we didn't see U.S. moving away from China, but we did see Europe move away from China. But the good news is that the cotton dominant volume that got wiped out from China was more than made up for by their imports from Bangladesh. So Bangladesh, once again, coming out pretty good in terms of a country that is using a lot of cotton and exporting a lot of cotton-dominant apparel. True for the U.S., true for Europe as well. We take a look at Europe, we've seen some other growth from smaller markets. Big percentage gains are from countries where there's not a lot of volume. Once again, the country list, simply just a grab bag, and we use a standard set for each of these importer groups for comparison. Take a look at what's going on all fibers. The situation in Europe is a little bit better. They're slightly up compared to where they were back in 2007. The U.S., we were slightly down. Growth's not really strong, considering that's been over an eight-year period, but at least it's positive. Something else I think is positive is take a look at the growth coming from Bangladesh. Pretty robust. Once again, important because a lot of that is cotton content. Take a look at changes in share. You'll notice that the change in share from all markets going to Europe, they did a little bit better than we did. Even though in the U.S. we have that system that prefers cotton from a tariff standpoint relative to man-made, the decline we saw in share in the European market was about half the decline in share we saw in the U.S. market. once again, country is really important, with Bangladesh holding on to share pretty solidly, which is great. At least there's one bright light out there for us, huh? And then we can take a look at Japan. Japan's a much smaller market. Japanese population is about a third of what we have here in the U.S., so their import volumes are much smaller. Since they are a smaller market, I'm not going to spend as much time talking about them. We can take a look at their numbers. We do see some shifting out of China, particularly for cotton content. We do see share being down similar in magnitude to the U.S. The rest of the numbers here, mostly for South Asia, Southeast Asia, which would be Cambodia, Myanmar, and Thailand, share down there proportionally relative to shipments from the world overall. But take all these messy tables and try and summarize what I've been trying to drive home in terms of the points. Once again, things that potentially be useful for CCI. Take a look at U.S., the pie, or the total apparel market. As we get a little bit smaller, we're down about 3%, due in large part to lighter average product weights. We haven't really seen a shift away from China. That's true not only for apparel in general, but that's also true for cotton dominant market, even though China's been doing all these crazy things with their polyester market and their cotton market. The biggest losses in share and also cotton dominant volume are coming from Latin America, where we've seen about a 3 million bale drop over the past 8 years. Take a look at the European situation. They're up slightly compared to where they were 8 years ago. They did move away from China as opposed to U.S., but the cotton content there was replaced by Bangladesh. Bangladesh's share of cotton dominant actually rose, which is really encouraging. We did see a decrease in cotton share in the EU, but that decrease is about half the magnitude of the decline in share we had in both the U.S. and Japan. Then you take a look at Japan, the loss they have in apparel weight is down in a much bigger way. That's due to the economy in Japan not being so great. Also, demographics in Japan, they have an older population, they tend to buy less clothes. That's probably also affecting their overall apparel demand. Typically, their decline in cotton shipments is deeper. it's relatively deep, so we are seeing move away from China in Japan, but we're also seeing some important decreases from Southeast Asia. But once again, Bangladesh is a source of hope for us in Japan as well. So that's one other application we have for this database. Another application is to take a look at some of the things that have been going on at the product level. I don't know if I've already worn you guys out with all these tables. This will be in the report. We'll have published on the council's website in a few weeks where you can take a little bit closer look at it. But I just want to pull a few highlights from this. One thing I do want to emphasize is that knit shirts is the dominant category for cotton content and also for overall fiber content. Here I'm just showing you cotton dominant values. Those other values will be in the table. You see that over one-third and almost 40% of all the cotton that's consumed at consumer level in the U.S. comes in the form of knit shirts. So jeans are important, but t-shirts outweigh jeans. So take a look at jeans. They would fall in the woven bottoms category. If we did zoom in on jeans, we'd see them showing up being about 10-15% of the market. Important, but once again, not as big as some of these broader categories. So can we take a look at knit shirts? Take a look at both knit shirts and woven bottoms. We're down a little bit compared to where we were back in 2007. We do see some growth in knit bottoms. So things Barry was talking about yesterday with respect to yoga pants. Yoga pants are knit bottoms. Some of the growth we're seeing in that knit bottom category is driven by the growth we're seeing in that yoga pant category. But if you take a look at the share volumes, they went from 3% to 6%. So yeah, it's growth, but it's not necessarily a tremendous amount of bail volume that we're talking about there. So those are just a few highlights I wanted to pull for you relative to the U.S. Take a look at what's going on in other markets. We can do the same thing for the EU. See similar distribution of share. Knit shirts, very important. Woven bottoms, very important, of course. About half woven bottom category will be represented by jeans. Take a look at knit bottoms. We also see some growth there, probably also driven by a shift to categories like yoga pants in that market. But once again, the share of that category relative to the overall proportion moving from 3% to 7%. Yes, it's growing, but also it's not a lot of bales. Then we take a look at Japanese market. We are seeing growth in bottoms in general, so both woven bottoms and knit bottoms increasing. So maybe we are seeing some turnaround denim market in Japan, which of course would be encouraging for us. Seeing some declines in knit shirt category. Not really sure how to explain that. We can dig in those numbers a little bit deeper over time. There's just some other things we can play with this database. Took a lot of time to pull together, but we can get mileage out of it by taking a look at different applications. Here's just an index we have for average product weights. We've been talking about the declines in average product weights in the U.S. for some time. Big purpose of this project was to take a look at what's going on in these other markets. It's the same thing going on in them as well. When we take a look at those data, we can see it. So if you divide simply the sum of quantity for all apparel categories divided by the sum of weight, we can see we've lost about 10 percentage points in both EU and Japan. So we are seeing declines in average product weights in those markets. Similar to what we did in the U.S., but the decline we had in the U.S. is a little bit steeper, a little bit deeper. So with that, you guys have sort of a smorgasbord of applications of this database project we've been able to put together. Even though this is an economic presentation, it's really descriptive statistics. We don't have any regressive models in here yet, so something we'll maybe doing down the line is to get a better idea about what predictors help explain some of these changes in demand we're seeing at the end-use level. Maybe something similar to what we did last year when we did a sort of a data mining approach to take a look at what factors can best explain some of this movement on the demand side. Could be something to talk about next year. Something else we want to do is take this data, take a look at the latest figures we had there for 2015. We're in 2017 right now, so those numbers are pretty dated. We've been pulling annual numbers so far, but we are going to start pulling monthly data and have more regular updates, and that, of course, will help us have better better effort when we start doing some of our predictive examinations. So. With that, that's what I got. Thank you for your attention. Welcome any questions.
We got time. Yeah, we have plenty of time for questions. Saturday.
It's much, much, much harder to measure. So we have done retail audits in China in the past. The thing is, China is so big and so diverse. So it's just a big sampling problem. So if you take a sample of Shanghai, it's going to be very different probably than a sample from Beijing. It's going to be very different from a sample in smaller cities, rural areas. So getting a grasp in terms of what's going on and share there is very challenging. But then on top of that, even if you do have the garments, you can read the labels. Can you trust the labels? So it's really tough. And I know ICAC, other folks, USDA also has done efforts of track and share in those markets. And it took those estimates. They bounce around a lot. I think a lot has to do with data quality. So we can try, but it's tough.